Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, December the 4th. And today we're going to be chatting with our good friend Rosine, you know, our great friend Rosine, who checks with us from time to time to talk about Europe. We have a special guest from Paris who's also going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking about what we're watching in Paris, these protests and this terrible situation, and try to get some perspective on it. I have a post coming out at the American Thinker on Wednesday morning about all of this, and hopefully we can all have a discussion and learn more about the entire issue. Let me say hello to that wonderful lady who's a great friend of our show, Rosine. How are you, Rosine?
I am fine. Hi to everybody. Hi, Silvio.
How
are you doing?
Absolutely great. In a minute, we'll have your friend Philip on. Philip, say hello.
Hi. Hello from Paris.
Yes.
Hello, Texas.
Yes. So from
Texas.
Yes. From Paris to Texas, that is a great connection. Well, you know, I think there is an airplane you can catch from Dallas to Paris. So I'm pretty sure
Non-stop.
Yes, just like this phone conversation is not stopped today. But Rosine, before we get to Philip, I wanted you to share with the audience what your experience here recently, because you were in Paris not long ago, weren't you? So fill us in on that, please, and then I'd like you to introduce Philip.
Yes. Well, we went to Paris with a delegation, an official delegation, to celebrate the 100th anniversary of 2018, the First World War, the first time the American and the French fought together, and we had a big victory over the invader. Because of the importance of this celebration, 80 heads of country flew to Paris, including our president. But I have to say that Monsieur Macron, the French president, did not want to celebrate the victory in 2018, because he did not want to offend Madame Merkel. So he decided to short all the festivity. Our delegation was composed with representative of senator, Congress, and with other people, and also with the National Security Advisor and for Foreign Policy from the campaign of our President Ken Timmerman. And we had our celebration in a gala dinner to show the French people that our president is very concerned about veterans, and he wanted to celebrate the victory. So we had kind of a very good time, very good food, but we tried to pass a message. And I think we did. Maître Philippe Deveul came also to the dinner, and he will confirm what I said.
Great. Well, Philip, go ahead, Rosine. Introduce our friend Philip, please.
Okay, Maître Philippe Deveul is an attorney in Paris, and I met him a few years ago when he became the advocate for the victim of the Bardo in Tunisia and the Bataclan in Paris. Maître Deveul is very concerned by terrorism. He's very concerned also by the danger of Islam all over Europe. And he's a patriot, he's a conservative, and he has some video of his client that we sent to Senator Cruz in order to help Senator Cruz to pass his bill when he can, because now he has been reelected to declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. This is something that needs to be done, because America has to lead to fight the danger of Islam all over Europe and in here.
Thank you very much. Let me see for a second. I think we may have Michael on. Hold on for a second. Let me say hello. Michael, is that you?
Yes, Silvio. How are you?
Okay, great. Michael appears, Rosine. How is that? Isn't that great?
Hello, Michael. Where are you?
Cher Rosine. How are you?
Michael,
New York,
what country are you in right now? Are you in China? Are you in Japan? Or are you in Texas?
No. I wish I was in Texas, to be quite honest, but no, I'm in New York City.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, welcome. Yes, in New York. Well, Philip, this is our great friend Michael, who has always been a part of our shows with Rosine. Have you met Michael, or do you know him?
No.
Of course.
No.
Okay. Everybody knows Michael, Philip.
Hi, Michael, I'm the guy from Paris.
Philip, every time we have Michael on, the girls go crazy.
Oh, nice to hear. Congratulations.
Yeah, the girls start calling in saying, when can we see his picture?
Thank you. You made me blush. You're making me blush, Silvio.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Well, here's what we're going to do. We want to give Philip an opportunity to give us a perspective from on the ground, because you're there and you may be watching the protest literally at this moment.
Everything is changing every day.
Something
is happening.
So why don't you explain, probably a lot of people in the United States or through the Internet who may be listening are somewhat familiar, but not obviously as familiar as you are or I am or even Rosine or Michael. So why don't you give us like a little protest 101, if you will, just a quick class on what the issue is and what the protests are and where we are right now. So take a few minutes and do that, please.
In fact, everything happens end of October, where on internet we were looking some flyers about the yellow jacket to stop to make a protest on the 17th of November in Paris, and it's 1 month ago. But in fact, the movement of the yellow jacket has only 2 weeks, which is very very new.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the first protest, I went to the second protest, and I went to the third protest because I was really concerned. And I'm very close to the French people, and I'm very close. I know that they are suffering because in my job, in my work, I'm defending people, middle-class people from the center of France. And I know what are the problems in the victims of terror attack. Mm-hmm. And I can follow... And I could feel in May that something would happen. I don't know what, but now the history is coming back to France because, in fact, this yellow protest concerns all the French middle class who can't afford a decent life with their salaries because the taxes cut everything and they can't afford to have a normal life in a liberalism system. If we were in a communist system, everybody would have the same salary, but everyone will be paid and mm-hmm. We won't have any kind of pay. But as we're in a liberal system, people are working, but they're working for nothing
mm-hmm.
because they have to pay so many taxes that they can't afford anymore. So now the middle class people starting to starve because they can't fill their fridge, and this is a problem. And now there is no concern from the poor, who is very far from reality.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. So, you know, what we're hearing here in the United States, we're actually not hearing a lot, to be honest with you, about these protests.
No.
There's a certain silence about these protests here. We're not getting as much information. If they were protesting against Trump, it would be on every nightly news. But since it's a protest more against something else, but what I understand, and here's what I like to bring Rosine and Michael in as well. What I understand, and we'll start with Rosine, what I understand is that Mr. Macron completely misread, totally disconnected from reality, that he would put a tax like this, a tax that would be primarily paid for by people who need to use their automobiles to work or to do business or even for pleasure, Rosine.
Oh, yes, he's trying to find taxes for every little thing. Now, mm-hmm. what we call, you know, he wants people to travel together, to work. Do you know that in order to fill up your tank, you have to pay almost $8 a gallon?
Wow.
And all those taxes, the taxes that increase, are all increased on the retired people, on the middle class people, on the working people, when all this money of taxes are going to give money away to the immigration people, to people
wow.
that are invading the country now. The country is overwhelmed with all those immigrants that get free money, free phone, and also free lodging when you have a lot of SDF, what we call SDF, in the street, people in the street, they cannot afford to pay the rent. It's
right.
a situation is very bad. And I'm very surprised that the French people were so slow to react to such a situation.
Yeah, let me ask Michael a question, because Rosine mentioned immigration, and this is something I heard this morning on Hugh Hewitt, which is another national radio show here in the United States. And Hugh Hewitt was mentioning this, Michael, that there is an anger that many people are saying, why do I have to pay all these taxes and these people are getting benefits? How important is that, Michael?
I think that's extremely important. Unfortunately, a lot of people believe that, you know, once they get to certain European countries, they will have a lot of benefits. France ranks very high among those countries. Many of them actually rather prefer to move to the UK, which is why you had this so-called jungle, this camp of illegals in Calais that was disbanded, and then that basically made the situation a little bit worse, because all the people who used to live there, they are just roaming around the area. Many of them relocated back to Paris. So it's a huge issue, as the other guests have mentioned. The tax situation in France is out of control. I don't know if you guys remember a couple of years ago, the very famous French actor Gérard Depardieu. Who left France for Russia, and he was granted citizenship. One of the reasons why he did that is because of the tax situation mm-hmm. that, you know, took place under the previous president of France, that basically was taxing people almost at 100% rate. So the middle class and the people who live in the rural areas and who rely on vehicles to transport themselves had enough, even
mm-hmm.
though this increase that has been represented in the media as, you know, only being a couple of cents.
Right.
Well,
right.
they make a difference when you have to, you know, you are already struggling to, you know, make ends meet. So
that's
it's
right.
extremely important.
I was going to say something else, too. I think that the way that it's being covered in the United States, a lot of reporters in the United States are not realizing that we're talking about liters in France, not gallons. So if we were to increase, let's say, a gallon of gasoline by 2 cents, if you increase a liter of gasoline by 2 cents, that's actually the equivalent of 8 cents, because there's, 4 liters in a gallon. So that's another thing that is being lost in the translation. But let me ask Philip a question about the situation there in Paris, in France, I should say. The political situation with Mr. Macron, because I don't know, Philip, if you remember. I know Michael and Rosine remember, because we did shows about this a couple of years ago or 18 months ago. I mean, at one time, we used to refer to Macron as the French Obama. I mean, he walks on water. I mean, he was perfect. He was loved by everybody. I mean, my gosh, you know, they were going to name cities after him all over the world. And now it turns out that he's very unpopular. Can he recover? That's really my question. Can he recover?
I don't think so. He just visited Puy-en-Velin. He just visited a city where a state building was burned by the rioters, the Yellow Jacket, because they can't control their pain, so they fight against all the symbols of the state. He went to this place, and the people, the French people, knowing that he was coming, was they were in a fury against him. A fury. I never saw that in my life with the French president. Never.
Wow, that's
so now I think the people what wants the yellow jacket. I think I spoke with many of them. I spoke with many of them coming from Lille to from Marseille or from Brest to Strasbourg. What they want is Macron's resignation. They want him to resign. I think the people are really upset with the regime of the technocracy, and I think Macron made many mistakes insulting the French people when he was going to foreign countries. He was insulting the French people. He has no respect for the humble people, for the low-class people. And with all these kind of mistakes, I think I don't see a positive end of this crisis, which is, I think, historical. Because I can tell you, from the beginning of the protest, it was okay. But the people were upset.
Right.
The second one, they were more upset. The third one, it was like a guerrilla in Paris, in front of my door. I never saw this kind of violence. And it's kind of a legitimate violence because the people are, you can't stop them. It's incredible.
Right.
And hopefully we have no death. But I think the next protest coming on Saturday, we won't afford a drama. I think the worst is coming to occur.
Right.
There is no control of situation,
right.
And the government is always late to answer to the people. On these people, I am shocked as a lawyer, as a French attorney, that I saw people, retired people, very quiet. They pay tax, they work all their life. They pay tax all their life. They are hit by the police.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked,
right.
Really.
Let me ask you one more question, please. This is... your knowledge as an attorney and as I assume you understand the Constitution well in France. Here in the United States, of course, we have the resignation option, which is it's only happened one time. But usually here, the president does not resign. He sticks around and he's very unpopular.
Impeachment. You have impeachment proceeds. In France, we could have, but we don't have enough member
right.
of parliament to vote destitution.
Right.
In fact, now there is a kind of no in France because I think whatever could decision what could take Macron, the government, the people won't accept. And the yellow jacket is a strength. It's a huge army of people. There is no leader.
Right.
There is no. There's many people coming talking for the yellow jacket, but you can't control. At the starting, you had quiet people, but now there is a violent wave in the yellow jacket. You control all the yellow jacket,
right.
And you can end that. You can stop it. It's like a tsunami.
Mm-hmm. Let me, I have a question then for Rosine and for Michael, but I want to ask you one more question. If he were to resign, would there have to be a different election, or how does that work?
If, for example, President Macron decides to resign because he could feel that he can't handle it anymore because his election was led by the media, and the media was controlled by the oligarchy. And in fact, it was not a real election because all the people, most of the people didn't go to vote at this election of 2017.
Mm, right.
So you feel a frustration with the people. If the President Macron, you have the President of the Senate who will be the President by interim. He could be President for 3 months. But
right.
In fact, we could find maybe 6 months to restore a quiet time to make a new election.
Okay,
but
very
as
good.
Far I can tell you now, I don't know what is going to happen.
Yeah.
It looks like all the people from the department, the préfet, they say to the Ministry of Interior that we are in a pre-revolutionary time.
Wow.
I mean, we are in a revolution. I could feel like a revolution at the starting, but now it's very precise. And I don't know what is going to happen on Saturday, really.
Right. Well, what I would like to do is maybe if you have the time next week, maybe we can do a follow up, and you can tell
us. Yes, I will tell you if nothing happens to me, because you know it was fire in my street.
Okay.
It's very dangerous, by the way.
Yes, I bet. I bet it is. I bet it is.
Well, time. I don't know what can happen, but you know, I'm very quiet. I'm not afraid, because the people is right to protest, because they can't afford anymore,
right.
And there is
right.
there is no connection with the poor and the people. I'm surprised. I'm shocked.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying. You're exactly right. We're gonna, Philip. I want to thank you very much for joining us today. I know it's late over there. Thank you very much for joining us. And I would like to keep the door open for a follow up maybe next week. You can tell us what's going on. I would love to hear from you next week and get a report after the Saturday march. Would that be okay?
That would be okay. And you know, I will go to the protest again on next Saturday, and I will take videos with my camera with my
phone.
Well,
thank you very much. I would also ask you a favor, if you know of any protester who speaks English and would like to be on the show, we'd love to have him.
All right. I will try to fight, but I'm a part of the Yellow Jacket, because also myself, you know, it's very difficult with all these taxes.
Right.
I think the tax is the same level as Cuba or something.
That's
like
right.
that. Yeah, so it's not possible.
Well,
okay?
You can tell, you know, that we have a ice hockey team in the United States called the Yellow Jackets, but I don't think it's the same thing.
No, I don't think so.
I think it's just a coincidence, as they say. Philip, thank you very much for your time, okay? I really appreciate
thank
your
you very
time.
Much. Okay,
thank you
have
very
a good
much.
Day. Thank you.
Thank
goodbye,
you very Robin. Much.
Goodbye, Michael. Thank you very much.
Thank
Bye.
You, Philip. We're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, I want to talk to Michael and Rosine about a couple of things, especially the politics of climate change after this incident. We'll be right back. What a great opportunity to speak to somebody in France. Just absolutely amazing. Rosine, thank you so much for making the connection. And Michael, thank you for coming on today. I want to go a little further now to what this means beyond France. I have a post coming out at the American Thinker tomorrow where I talk about not only what this means for France, but I think this is a real setback for the politics of climate change. I want to begin with you, Michael. To me, this is a really, I mean, I cannot imagine any other democratically elected leader who's going to try to pass a carbon tax to do this, Michael.
You're absolutely right. I mean, Europe, unfortunately, has a long history, recent history. I'm talking about in the past 20, 30 years of ignoring the will of the people. You know, former President Nicolas Sarkozy of France, for instance, when there was this whole reverse, you know, and revolt of the people against the Constitution of Europe that, you know, people from France voted down, he said openly, and I'm paraphrasing him, that you couldn't let people decide because people didn't have enough knowledge and they didn't know the situation well enough to decide. So that's the view that the elites that control and are controlled by the European Union half of the rest of the people. Most likely, Mr. Macron believed that he could get away with murder by increasing a couple of cents here and there for his infamous carbon tax. But I think this is a rude awakening for them. I'm not sure if the situation is going to improve for the people themselves. And if at the end of the day, they will keep, you know, Macron from trying to reinstate this tax, you know, 6 months from now.
Yeah.
But I think at least it gives them pause and gives them the opportunity to start thinking about it and see what they're going to do. Let's not forget that in May of next year, we have elections for the European Parliament. And I think, at least in France, this is going to be very, very present in the minds of the voters. I was reading in the press that, you know, these kind of protests are, you know, even though they are rooting and cost for because of the increase in taxes in France, are expanding to neighboring countries such as Belgium, in which they have similar situations in which people you know, are fed up with taxes. That's the problem with Europe. Europe, yes, there are a lot of benefits, but nothing is free in life.
Right.
And I think people are just getting fed up because regular people, the people, law-abiding citizens, native Europeans, native French people, native Germans, they work and work and work, and at the end of the day are left with almost nothing to survive.
Right. That's a very good point. Rosine, for my benefit, because I don't know, can you translate for us what the price of gasoline now in France is? In other words, after this tax.
Yes.
Before the tax after, and after
well,
the tax. Explain it to us in gallons. I mean, in dollars and gallons so that we understand it.
Well, you have to understand the problem of gasoline that has been going on for years in France.
Mm-hmm.
On one liter, c'est-à-dire a gallon is 4 liters, okay?
4 liters,
on
right,
one
yeah.
liter, if I give you a price of $10 a liter, for example, okay? $10
a liter. $10
a liter? No. I give you an example of the,
oh, okay, an
the
example.
Taxes, okay.
Okay?
For the taxes. Suppose that the liter is $10. Taxes are 75% of those $10. So now the gallon would be, and that's a real price, around $8 a gallon.
Wow.
On this $8 a gallon, still 75% are going to the government. It's
right.
government pay. Now Macron
right.
wants to increase that, and I think this increase that he did himself, you know, this
mm-hmm.
increase is the drop that made the vase overflow,
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because taxes are coming right and left to the middle class people since he's in charge.
Right.
He reduced the retirement for the retired people. It's a total disaster. You know how much you have to pay if you want to drive from Paris to Marseille on the highway. You have at least $150 toll to pay for
wow.
the toll. And after that, you have your gas tank will be maybe another $150. Can you imagine?
Yes, no, I can understand.
People
I can
cannot.
Understand. Right.
People are starving. So let me just tell you something. It's not
yes,
only
please.
President Trump. President Trump started the nonsense of telling them climate change is a nonsense. We withdraw. We are not going to be a part of your business with climate change. People did not understand at the beginning, but now they do. They do understand that the histoire of global warming and stuff like that is just not
right.
true. It's just an excuse for more taxes. So this is a big
and
problem.
And more control. More control over our
and
lives.
More control.
More control over our lives. I was going to ask Michael one last point here. Michael, you know, even if, let's assume for the sake of argument, that every prediction about climate change or global warming or global cooling. See, I'm old enough to remember when we were supposed to freeze to death. Then we were supposed to burn to death. So I'm getting a little tired of predictions. But anyway, let's assume that that in 100 years, you know, we're all going to be flooded to death. Let's assume that's true. If you're going to fix the problem, it's better doing it gradually. But I think the mistake Macron made here is to try to do it all at once, because he thought, I'll do this and then I'll be really popular. You know, I'll be really popular with the European Union, and I'll be really popular. Obama will call me on the phone and say how heroic I was and what a great leader I was. So he was just thinking about his own fame. He wasn't thinking about his own people, Michael.
You're absolutely right. And I tend to be a little bit more pessimistic in terms of him resigning or not running for a second term. I think that, unfortunately, a lot of people have, I'm talking about the people who vote, the voters, the electorate. A lot of people have very short memory. So let's say if he is not a fool enough to try to reintroduce the tax in, let's say, in 6 months, a year, 2 years, he might very well get reelected after his first five-year term. I believe that, again, it shows that disdain that the European elites and the globalists, to put it that way, have for the people themselves, because they don't live in the real world. They don't know what's to pay bills and, you know, live paycheck to paycheck. They just thought a couple of cents here and there, people are not going to say anything, and it does make a difference. I think that I don't think the European leaders are going to change course because of this. They might take a pause in their overall plan to continue pushing for, you know, the Treaty of Paris that, thank God, our, you know, beloved president didn't endorse. But I believe they're going to keep pushing forward, and they're just going to count on people, you know, falling asleep, and then in a couple of years, perhaps try it again. It's a sad reality. When Mr. Macron got elected, you interviewed me, and I remember telling you that I believe that he could be very well be the last president of France, counting in that he will govern for a decade. And I was talking about, you know, the profound demographic changes that you are seeing in France itself. I do maintain that view because the aging population is a huge factor, and then you have a new population that is unfortunately is not qualified to keep society running for the most part. And that's going to happen, you know, in a decade, decade and a half at the most. I think that what you're seeing right now are the salvos of a potential revolution in Europe. Again, I don't believe it's going to happen in the next decade or so. It might happen in 20 years, but I think it will happen because, you know, you have cultures that are coming to a clash. You have the native people who are, again, are having to struggle and work and work and work to pay for other people not to work, to be freeloaders. And people are going to become fed up. They're going to become fed up when they realize they're actually are a minority in their own lands, in their own countries. And the only way out of this, it will be an armed revolution, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, you're right, though. Very, many, many times that's what happens in history. When they don't listen to you, people have to be, they have to get violent. And I think you're right. It could happen that way. Now, Europeans could start having a few babies. That would help a little bit. that would help a little bit if they started having a few more babies. That might help their problem a little bit. Well, Rosine, thank you very much for your time. Michael, thank you very much for your time. I wasn't sure if you were coming in or not, Michael, so I have to update the link to put your name on it. So when you see the link, you'll see your name on it. So, and so Michael, it wasn't that we forgot about you. I just wasn't 100% sure you'd be joining us, but I'm delighted that you did.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure, and I hope to see you sometime soon when I go to Texas in the next couple
of weeks.
Well,
you do that. You know where I am, so you call me, and we'll get together. I'd love to have you meet one of our sons and have you meet him. I think that would be great. I think you met another one of them, right? Or did you ever – I think you met one in New York, right?
No, I did not. I did not have a chance because all of my traveling, I'm almost nowhere. I'm almost nowhere here in New York City, so –
Okay. All right. Well, when you come to Texas, you let me know in advance, and we'll be happy to get together. And, Rosine, I want to thank you so much for making the connection here today. And
you
hopefully
better,
we...
Silvio, let me just say something.
I just want
to add something. Because I have been in contact with so many people all over France. I think it's not just a protest. It's going to be another revolution. That's what's going to be. I don't think Macron is going to end his term. I think he's going to be gone soon. But what I'm afraid of is the blood in the street. We knew it was coming. We knew it was coming. It's more than a revolution than a protest. It's much deeper than this. So we will have to keep posted.
Yes, no, I think you're both right about your views of the future. I think you're both right on those. Well, thank you very much to both of you. And Rosine, can you do me a favor? Can you send Philippe the link of the show? I don't have his email, so if you
yes,
could send it to
I
him
will.
So
yeah,
that he
I
can
will.
Hear it, okay? And I'll
yes,
upload
okay.
the show in a few minutes after completion. Michael, thank you for your time, and keep up the great work, Michael. You're always traveling. I mean,
and
every
Michael,
time I...
Michael has to stop traveling all over the world because we never know where he is.
Michael, I'm going to recommend that you listen to a song. I'm going to recommend that you listen to a song. It's a very old song before you were born, but it's an old song called Traveling Man. And it says, I'm a traveling man. I travel all over the world, and everywhere I go, I have a girl. So
that sounds about right, actually.
Yes. So, you know, it goes like this. I have a pretty senorita in old Mexico, and my so and so on. So you better listen to that show because it's your biography, Michael.
Yeah.
I will Google it, and I will let you know.
Yeah, you let me know what you think
okay.
of it. Traveling Man by Ricky Nelson.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, thank you so much to both of you, Rosine and Michael, great friends of our show. We have done many shows about Europe in the past. Today, of course, the situation in France is the primary situation. Hopefully, if we can, we'll do a show next week. We'll get Philippe on, and we'll try to do a show next week. It's a very serious situation. I think both of our guests, Rosine and Michael, are exactly right. This may be the beginning of something very profound in Paris. Maybe, as they say, you know, something has broken the back of the camel, or whatever the expression is. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.